thomasguy.net.
Hello, Brother Thomas. It's me, Mary.
Yes, Sister Mary. Got another question for me?
Yes, I do, Brother Thomas. So I understand what you're telling me, that God knew that the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, would make the wrong choice?
Yes, Sister Mary, that is absolutely correct. God did know that Adam and Eve would make the wrong choice after he created them. In fact, he knew it even before, even when he fell in love with them in the imagination of his mind. He knew that after he created them and after he made them and set up the choice between the two trees, one which is the tree of life, which represented yes to his invitation to an eternal relationship with him, or the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which a result of that is not life but death. Yes, God did know that Adam and Eve would make the right choice, but God also knew something else, and we'll get into that. But first, I want to talk about, you know, why would anyone continue with a plan if they knew that it was going to fail? And there's a parable, and a story that Christ told in the book of Luke, chapter 14. And this was Christ's advice to his disciples and to others who wanted to be a disciple of Christ. In short, it's God's word to man, and God certainly would not go against his own counsel, but follow his counsel as well. Let me read it to you. It says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Least happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that beholdeth it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." Did God start a plan and make a promise that he wasn't going to be able to keep and finish in the end? Of course, the answer to that is no. God knew that in the multiplication of the human race, after Adam and Eve chose and made the wrong choice, he knew that in the future, in the multiplication of the human race, that there would be hundreds and thousands and millions and even billions of people who would come to Christ and say yes to that invitation of wanting to spend an eternal relationship with him. He knew that there would be many. When you look at history, the multitudes that were saved by the 12 apostles, there were multitudes that were saved through their ministry. And all through the ages of the church has been used as an instrument to bring many to Christ and to introduce many into that promise where God wanted to give them eternal life. And they have entered into that promise. And, of course, we must remember that God, it is impossible for God to lie and not keep his word once you have entered into a promise with him. Once you've entered into a promise with him, God must keep it. But look at the Dark Ages. After the Dark Ages, a point of history where the church, the Catholic Church, controlled government in many nations, and yet punished those who mentioned the name of Christ or read their Bibles or even had a Bible, and they were punished for it. But at the end of the Dark Ages came the Age of Enlightenment, came the time for where Luther came out of the Dark Ages, and there was a great movement after the Dark Ages. And out of that came multitudes. The Holy Spirit moved upon nation after nation almost at a single moment, and multitudes came to Christ. And, of course, even here in the United States, there was the great revivals in the early history of the United States. John Knox and even others, Wesley, came over here, and multitudes were brought to Christ. No, he knew they would make the wrong choice, but he also knew that out of the seed, or out of the children and children and children's children and children and children of Adam and Eve, as they would populate the earth, he knew for a fact that there would be many who would love to have an opportunity out of love and compassion and out of passion, want to live with God for eternity. If you stop and think about it, I mean, why did God, during Noah's Ark, why didn't he wipe out the whole race? I mean, the whole race was in sin. There was perversion, adultery, like nobody's business, homosexuality, bestiology, murder, theft. I mean, all kinds of wickedness was ruling the earth at that time. And yet God spared so that the human race would be able to continue to multiply. God spared the human race and did not wipe out everybody. He saved a family of eight. Why did he do that? Well, he did it because he had a promise to keep. And he also did it because he knew that in the future, out of the family of eight, when they begin to multiply once again, that there would be a future of children of God, people who would want to live eternally and say yes to God at the invitation of wanting to have an eternal relationship with him and forsake that way of life known as sin. That's why God didn't wipe everybody out. That's why he kept the human race going, because he made a promise. God has to keep that promise. Look with me, if you would, too. Look at Ephesians 1:5. And let me read to you what Ephesians 1:5 says. Let's see. Let me get to it first. Ephesians 1:5. Ephesians 1:5 says, let's start with 4, says, according as he has chosen us in him. Now, the in him is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the instrument of election. According as he has chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, all that is simply saying, the word predestinate, did you hear it? We were predestined and we were called even before the fall of man, even before the world came into existence, even before time began. The word predestinate means foreknowledge, that God, even in the imagination of his own mind, before he created man, and knowing that Adam and Eve was going to make the wrong choice, he knew. He knew that the plan was a success. He knew that there would be those who would come out of this plan, thousands of them, millions of them, billions of people would come to Christ and accept the death of Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, so that they might enter into eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we're called even before the world began. We were predestined. Listen to it again. According as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, before time, that we should be holy and without blame before him, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure. So did God know for a fact that there would be multitudes that would accept the promise of wanting to spend an eternal relationship with him? The answer is yes. Did he know that Adam and Eve would sin? The answer to would say no and make their own choice? Yes. He also knew that. I don't know if I have enough time in this segment to turn to Hebrews 11:3, and let's see what we can do with that for just a moment. Hebrews 11:3, and let me read it to you. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And again, this simply talks about the faith of God. It says, through faith we understand. God, when it refers to God being faithful, just like on the last question you asked me, Sister Mary, faithfulness, when it refers to God, is referring to the fact that God is unmovable. God can't lie. It's talking about the unmovability of his character, that when God says he's going to do something, God will do it. And that's what it's referring to. Notice what it says here. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds, the word worlds here is ages. Worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And this is simply saying that the ages, and an age is like if you had a ladder, and if you could picture a ladder and each rung represented an age, like the age of innocence, the middle age, you know, these different ages like that. You get on the other side of the top of the ladder and come down, you got like the industrial age, the rocket age, the computer ages, all these ages. And God laid these ages down, and he allowed time to continue, and he allowed history to run on, knowing that with each age, through each age, that there would be multitudes who would come to Christ and multitudes who would say yes to his invitation to have an eternal relationship with him. But it says that the worlds were framed. And why did God allow history to begin? Why did he allow the ages of history to unfold? Because of his unmovableness, because of his faith, to keep a promise that he made to himself towards man, that he wanted to have an eternal relationship with him. Does this answer your question, Sister Mary?
Yes, Brother Thomas, thank you. If you would like a tape or CD of today's lesson, please write to promiseofgod.net, 545 Big Leaf Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78264, or email us at t_sal@sbcglobal.net, or you may call area code 210-626-1416 with your request for any of the broadcast lessons or questions or comments. See you next time at thepromiseofgod.net.